Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now most seven-year pre-tribbers believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that is restraining the Antichrist, and that when the church is gone, when they're raptured, the restrainer is going to be removed because the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the way. It's going to be taken out of the earth. Now this doctrine that the Holy Spirit is the one restraining is not only a false doctrine, but it's also a borderline blasphemous doctrine. And that is because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning that it is everywhere. The Spirit is God, and it cannot be taken out of the earth. The Spirit cannot be removed. Okay, when the church is gone, that does not mean that the Spirit is going to be gone from the earth. God's presence is everywhere, and it is impossible for the Holy Spirit to be removed from the earth. And if that was the case, then how would anyone be saved during the Great Tribulation? Without the Spirit of God, you can do nothing. So do not be deceived. The Holy Spirit is not the one that is restraining. The Spirit cannot be taken out of the way. The Spirit is omnipresent, as it is written. Where can I go from your Spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. The Holy Spirit is everywhere all of the time, and it can never be removed or taken out of the way. The truth is that what our brother Paul said plainly, that our gathering together to meet Christ in the air won't happen until the falling away and that man of sin is revealed. And the man of sin does not get revealed until the abomination of desolation. That is when everyone is going to know without a doubt that this is the Antichrist. Okay, this whole seven-year peace agreement thing is not in the Bible. It's the interpretation of men, and it's a false interpretation. Jesus said, when we shall see the abomination, he was speaking to believers in Christ. In Christ, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. We are all one in Christ. He told us believers that we will see the abomination, meaning that the church will be here to see the abomination of desolation. We won't get raptured before the abomination. The seven-year tribulation is a false doctrine. It is a lie. There is not one clear statement in the entire Bible that supports a seven-year tribulation. And seven-year pre-tribbers have to use false interpretations or dreams or types and shadows that anyone can really use to twist the meaning of Scripture and to make it say whatever their itching ears want to hear. But the truth be told is that the Bible does not teach a seven-year pre-tribulation. I'm going to give you a foreshadow of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the abomination of desolation. This parallel can be found in Exodus chapter 32. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and start off with verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. Now here Moses is a type of Jesus. And just as Moses went up the mount and was gone for a very long time, this would foreshadow how Christ would ascend to heaven and that he would be gone for a very long time. Now Moses was gone for 40 days. Just as Jesus would be in heaven for 40 sets of 50-year Jubilee cycles. 40 times 50 equals 2,000. Meaning that after 2,000 years, then Christ would come down to visit the earth, just as Moses came down the mount after 40 days. Back to Exodus. The people gathered themselves together onto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people braked off their golden earrings which were in their ears, and they brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and offered peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So notice here that they're sitting down to eat and to drink. This sounds like when Jesus said it's going to be like the days of Lot. They're going to be eating and drinking. They're having a feast, right, to this false god. And if you notice how they're making this image of a molten calf that is a beast, right? A calf is a beast. So they're making this image to a beast to worship. And this foreshadows the abomination of desolation, when the false prophet is going to make this image onto the beast, and all are going to have to worship this image, and they're going to make sacrifices to it on the altar. They're going to make sacrifices to this image. And pay attention to what happens next here, because this is going to foreshadow what the Father is going to tell the Son before Christ visits the earth. Back to Exodus. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them." Notice this turning aside quickly to a false god. Okay, this foreshadows the falling away of Israel before Jesus returns. Okay, they're falling away from the true God. They're forsaking the God of heaven for this image of a beast, this false idol. They have made this molten calf and they have worshiped it, and they've sacrificed to this beast, and it's an abomination unto the Lord. Back to Exodus. "They have made them a molten image, and they have worshipped it, and they have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Now notice here how God's wrath is triggered by this event that foreshadows the abomination of desolation, when Israel is worshiping this image of the beast, and how God tells Moses that he will consume them and make of Moses a great nation. And this foreshadows the rapture, folks, in that God is going to come to bring down his wrath and his indignation, and he's going to make the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to make of him a great nation, a holy nation, set apart unto God, a kingdom of priests. Okay, that is us, the body of Christ, the church. Do you see how this event here in Exodus chapter 32 is an exact parallel to what is going to happen at the rapture, at the time of God's wrath and his indignation? He's coming back down the mountain after a very long time, just as Moses was gone a long time. And when he comes, he catches Israel in the act of worshiping a false god, worshiping this image of a beast. And I really hope that you could see this picture here, because it's pretty clear to me that this is a foreshadow of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the abomination of desolation to bring down his wrath and his indignation and to make a great nation out of God's children, which is us, the man-child that gets caught up to God's throne in Revelation chapter 7. And to get off topic for a second, regarding all of the bad news that's going on in the world, the wars, the rumors of wars, don't be troubled by any of this. All of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? Just know that God is with us always, even to the very end. And he will comfort us, and he's going to guide us through all of these birth pangs. And as children of God, we are the light of the world, and we know the exact sign of his coming. When Israel is surrounded with armies and at the abomination of desolation, then we're going to be able to see the sign of his coming, the sign that's in the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun is going to turn black as sackcloth of hair. The moon's going to turn to blood. The stars are going to fall to the earth. Then we are to look up for our redemption, and then we'll see the coming of the Son of Man with all of his holy angels, and they're going to gather us together onto him at the sixth seal rapture. The sixth seal is not the end of the Great Tribulation. It is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. According to the book of Revelation, the order goes the seals, then it's the trumpets, and then it's the bowls last. Okay, we get called up at the sixth seal before any of the seven trumpets of God's wrath and the seven bowls of God's wrath. The seals are clearly not God's wrath. Okay, these are just natural things that happen every day. There's nothing supernatural about any of the seals except for the sixth seal, which we're currently waiting to be open. We're waiting for that sixth seal to be open, because once that sixth seal is open, that is when we're going to hear that sound of the trumpet, and everything is going to turn supernatural from that point on out. But that's all for now, folks. I'm going to end with the gospel, and that is that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And that life is in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day. And he rose again for our justification. We are made right in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did for us, his shed blood that covers us. He is the spotless lamb without blemish, and his righteousness is imputed onto us. He took all of our sins on the cross, and we received his righteousness. That is the greatest exchange that has ever been made, ever. That is how good that God is, that he gave his only begotten Son so that we can live and that we can have eternal life with him forever. And remember that the greatest commandment is that we should love one another. Just as Christ has loved us, we should love one another. And this is not a command, but this is something that we should all do, is stay in the Word of God daily, studying the Scriptures, praying for one another daily, and just treating other people how we want to be treated. Until next time, God willing, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.